This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's like the ultimate kind of like Rorschach test of like, you know, what personality type you have. Like, who are you blaming, you know, when something goes wrong?
Well, I blamed the recipe and then called in a podcast to help me figure it out. So what does that say about me?
Well balanced.
Hey there, listeners, future callers, and cooking enthusiasts. Welcome to Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. In order to properly introduce you to this week's caller, Aaron, I'm going to have to take you all the way back to Thanksgiving.
We did Thanksgiving with a group of friends, and I'm not a huge fan of like traditional Thanksgiving food, and namely pumpkin pie is just a no-go for me.
Okay. Did I already like go on a pumpkin pie tear?
You did, and I appreciated it.
Okay.
Like, I appreciated it deeply. I always say like pumpkin pie looks like you already ate it. That's why I don't like it. So, not a pumpkin pie girl, but I was trying to be, you know, still festive and celebratory and whatever.
So Erin, with her perfect taste in pie that just so happens to align exactly with mine, but whatever, signed up to make a lemon meringue pie instead.
No, I've never made a lemon meringue pie before, but I'm very familiar with lemon curd. Like, that was a huge thing in my house, and I've made all sort of riffs on curd of all kinds. And I love meringue. I like to do pavlovas for my birthday.
Wow.
Like, I've made meringue a lot. So I felt confident. Like, it's two things that I know pretty well. This can't be that hard. Famous last words.
Famous last words indeed. So Aaron looked up some recipes and settled on one from a trusted source.
Rosie's Baking Book.
Rosie's Baking Book. Okay.
My mom had it always when we were kids, and like, she's met Rosie. So this is a recipe I felt confident in, or from a source I felt confident in. So I made the pie. Everything was going great. I brought it out the next day before I was about to put the meringue on top. You know, the only indication I had that things were not going to be perfect was I looked at it and I felt like it was maybe a little jigglier than I would have liked.
The lemon layer itself, it was wobbling. It was jiggling.
Yeah, it's a little wobblier than I would have expected.
It was wishing and washing. All of those things. Okay, that doesn't seem great.
No, but the last time I ate lemon meringue pie was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I didn't 100% know what I was going for.
Okay, yep.
So I make my meringue. Another like warning sign, the recipe said the meringue will come to stiff peaks in like 5 minutes or something. Like, I was like, no, that's not how this works. So I made my meringue in a confident way. It looked beautiful. Peaks were great. Put it on there, made a little bunch of little dollops, you know, the way that I think lemon meringue pie is supposed to look. Threw it in the oven. It looked great. So we set it out. We let it cool. And I get in the car to take it to Friendsgiving. And on this arduous journey of 3 miles, all of a sudden, the pie started like running out of the tin onto my boyfriend's clothes.
Was he holding it literally on its lap as though it was like a cat on its way to the vet?
No, he was holding it on like a cookie sheet on his lap. Yeah.
All right.
And then it still was like leaking. So we get to Friendsgiving and we go to cut into the pie. And it was not pie. It was lemon meringue soup.
Huh.
So we ate it out of coffee cups. It was delicious. The meringue was perfect. The lemon was tart and sweet and impeccable flavor. The graham cracker crust, gorgeous, like broke apart in little chunks because I had egg washed it. But it was lemon meringue soup.
You could have just done an instant rebrand and just called it
lemon curd pavlova, and nobody would have known a thing. Just serve it in a little martini glass, put a little tassel on it, boom.
Why didn't I think of that? Like, that would have been great. Instead, I was practically in tears because I'm nothing if not dramatic over my lemon meringue soup.
Do you have that recipe handy?
Yes, I am looking at it now.
Ha! All right, give us Rosie's version of lemon meringue pie. What is in the custard?
Okay, 6 tablespoons cornstarch, and then 1.5 cups of water, 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons sugar, 3/4 cup fresh lemon juice, 3 large egg yolks, 3 tablespoons unsalted butter, and 1.5 teaspoons of grated lemon zest.
Okay, everything goes in at once? Brought to a simmer?
No. Dissolve the cornstarch and then add sugar until it thickens, then add lemon juice and egg yolks, which I did like temper the egg yolks.
Okay.
And then you strain and then stir in butter and lemon zest.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And then once the eggs were tempered, they went back into that saucepan and everything was allowed to come to a rolling boil? Yes or no?
So it said until the egg yolks cook about 3 minutes. And I'm, okay, let me think on back on how I did this. I believe that I would have let that come to a boil.
Boil.
Would have been my
like boil. You watched
it
thicken.
Yes.
Big, ploppy bubbles. Like the kind of bubbles that like plop, the air wants to fly out of there and do damage and send like molten sugar mixture. Like,
okay, maybe I didn't go full bubble. Maybe I went to gentle boil.
Maybe you were thinking like, oh, this is like creme anglaise. I don't want to scramble a yolk.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we're like off in the weeds here. Everybody's like scratching their heads like, what are they talking about? But there's a few different things happening here, right? So there's a few different types of custard. There are starch-thickened custards, of which this is one. Custards that are brought to a full boil that involve cornstarch or I suppose like tapioca or potato would probably, you know, work as well, or flour or some combination thereof that have to be brought to a very full boil in order to activate their full thickening potential. Because there are then stirred custards, such as crème anglaise, aka the base of many styles of ice cream, in which the custard is not brought to a boil because of the absence of starch, you have the risk of the egg scrambling and cooking rather than setting into a fluid sort of matrix. And then you have baked custards like creme brulee, that's what I'm thinking. And like pot de creme and things like that, right?
Well, this was kind of like the root of my original question was, I'm a pretty good cook. I don't use recipes unless it's a new technique or something I'm wholly unfamiliar with. So I found a recipe that I thought could be trusted. And then in the end, I wondered, like, would I have been better off riffing off of a different recipe than following this one as close to the letter as I could have? Like, what should I be looking for in this recipe? Where can I change this recipe? Where can I modify it? Or where do I need to follow it as well?
Yeah, it's really cool to hear you pull back and sort of say, oh, okay, like, how do you even just like know where to begin? And listen, here's the thing. I would say like you can tread water for a long time. Sorry, that's not the right analogy. You can flounder. You can kind of semi-drown, you know, for a long time trying to figure out the optimal ratio of certain ingredients. If you're trying to reach a really specific endpoint, especially in baking, where you have really precise interaction of specific ingredients under specific conditions. And listen, part of that is just having an understanding, like I said, for how certain ingredients behave under certain conditions. And you can kind of just like cook things almost in your mind, not with your mind. In your mind, you know, like knowing what happens to starch when you put it into boiling water, you know, what happens with all these different things such that they can kind of come together the way that you want and the way that you intend. So, well, listen, this was delightful. And thank you for sharing your fail with us. I feel like we learn the most, you know, when we fall short of this expectations we set for ourselves. And that's what makes us grow. So looking forward to continuing this with you. Okay.
Yes, I am hoping to grow.
So Erin tried to make a lemon meringue pie.
That was mistake number one, let's be honest.
Why?
Oh, wait, you like lemon meringue pie. I forgot. Okay, continue.
What is wrong with lemon meringue pie?
There's something about a lemon curd that I just can't tolerate. It always tastes like eggy. And then there's something about the it tastes like you ate scrambled eggs and then licked the inside of a can at the same time. Yeah.
You're a monster. I didn't know this about you. While Shilpa Oskokovich's pie preferences are clearly not as unimpeachable as mine and Aaron's, she does admittedly know a thing or two about baking. And when I walked her through Aaron's process, Shilpa diagnosed the problem pretty quickly. We had a starch activation issue on our hands.
If you don't cook egg yolks like all the way to a certain temperature and the protein doesn't fully denature and then it continues to eat away at the cornstarch and it just prevents it from fully congealing and setting. It doesn't allow it to form that gel network. And then when you take it out, it's like water. Even though it might have looked thick going in and like set, it'll just continue to keep eating away at it as it chills.
So here's my question for you, because I was actually sitting here worried that, oh, well, you know, this is a kind of open and shut case, Oskokovich, right? You know? Come on, detective. Like, we cracked the code.
We did.
You know, there's no mystery here. We have the solution. Or do we? Because if you don't even like lemon meringue pie, what do you want her to make that sort of like allows her to get back on the custard horse here that isn't through a lemon meringue vehicle?
I'm going to say, you know, obviously, Aaron loves lemony things because that's why she chose to make a lemon meringue pie. So I don't want to go on like a 360 and do 180 rather. I don't know geometry. and say chocolate. But like I was thinking, what about lemon chess pie? Like all the flavors and all the like tartness, but more, I don't know, foolproof. You just mix everything and bake it. And then because of the longer bake time, it's always going to be baked through and set.
Okay. I think you're going in a good direction. I mean, I think anything that's kind of like a custard that's cooked out and set, either set through just chilling and resting or set through a secondary bake, is fine. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, Shilpa, like I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow, because it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I'm bringing lemon meringue pie to this pie fight tomorrow. Okay.
Okay.
So what's going to be in your back pocket?
Well, that's it? All of that buildup for you to say you're going to give her the same pie that she came with?
That's what I'm saying.
Christopher, we're done here.
So while I polished my trusty old lemon meringue pie recipe, Shilpa went in search of a newer, shinier citrus pie to bring to our showdown. After the break, we'll put the pies head-to-head to see which sparks Aaron's imagination.
Hi, friends. I'm Cameron Rogers, host of Freckled Foodie and Friends podcast, which is now on Dear Media. Are you wondering what just happened to your life after having a baby or struggling with your mental health during postpartum? That was me just a few months ago. Are you working on healing your relationship with yourself, your body, and or food? Same. We are all on a journey to self-love and acceptance, and I'm right there with you. That's what Freckled Foodie and Friends is all about, reminding you that no matter what, you are not alone. Make sure to tune in for season 5 launching with Dear Media on November 9th and subscribe to listen to new episodes every Wednesday morning.
Aaron, welcome back. I'm joined here by Shilpa, and we want to talk through your pie fail. And Shilpa and I, we had like the most interesting conversation in the kitchen about what is the deal with cooked, meaning like stirred styles of custard. And Shilpa corroborated that there is this starch dissolving protein in eggs that if you don't cook them out far enough, will dissolve whatever starch has been activated, or to an extent, you know, some of the starch that is present in your custard matrix. And if you haven't fully activated your starch, meaning whether it's based on all-purpose flour or cornstarch or a combination of the two, you're not going to have gotten it as thick as it could be to begin with. So I think your problem is effectively twofold, right? You didn't cook out eggs enough to fully neutralize that protein that's present, and you didn't fully activate the starch that was there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right. So completely failed, but not necessarily my fault.
No.
Because the recipe was lacking a little bit.
Yes. I mean, we're not pointing fingers. Recipe language is more art than science, right?
Recipe language is... It's hard.
It's tricky.
It's really hard to translate a recipe.
But this feels like an area where, okay, I think we correctly diagnosed the issue, but the question is now, do you want to try to make lemon meringue pie again? Or are we spinning off into other directions here?
Well, I would say, like, lemon pie is like a classic pie that I feel like I should be able to make for, like, summer pie outings. So I think I would like to be able to successfully make a lemon meringue pie.
Okay.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Can you live with that, Shilpa? You're seeming all sorts of skeptical right now.
I am, but I'm also excited because I had two alternatives. I'm happy
okay,
to
never
hear,
mind.
I'm
I changed my mind.
No.
I want to hear the alternatives.
Yes. I think you might like them only because I'm especially enthused because you said you want a lemon meringue, like a lemon pie for summer. And I have two ideas which are perfect for summer, even more appropriate than I think lemon meringue pie,
which
incidentally is a stupid pie. Like, okay, continue.
I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
No,
you're
it's
okay.
Not. She's
I didn't
wrong.
Know what I made
She's
it.
Wrong. Okay. She's wrong.
Okay. Fine,
so,
whatever.
Here's what I think about pie. I love it. I friggin'
you are
love
a pie
it.
Fan.
I
yeah.
don't love pumpkin pie because pumpkin is technically a fruit, but everyone thinks of it as a vegetable. And like, to me, the only vegetable that takes that treatment is rhubarb. But moving on, years ago, I developed a few different kind of custard pie recipes. And it was interesting to me because this past year for Thanksgiving, we really leaned into the custardy end of the pie spectrum as well. Mm-hmm. Things such as...
coconut custard pie, coconut and, chocolate, and banoffee.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah, because given the time of year and the fact that, like, there's no berries around, you know, custard pies have this kind of evergreen quality to them. You know, like, my gosh, like, for Thanksgiving growing up, we'd have the blind bake shells lined up, ready to go. We would make custard, like, an hour or two before serving it, cool it down, and that's when we would sort of tip it out onto, like, tons of sliced banana, and it was, like, fresh. It was, like, when the first time you eat like a sushi hand roll and like the nori
warm.
Is like still crackly and the rice is still warm and the fish is the perfect temperature. It's like all those elements, you perceive them as distinct elements, but as they function together as this like glorious whole. Okay, like that to me is like what a custard pie can do. So years ago, I developed a few. One was a lemon meringue pie, okay? And I was like trying to let Shilpa get her shots in first, but because she's just having a moment over there, I'm going first, okay?
Yes.
November 2019 issue of Bon Appetit, lemon meringue pie. I'm going to walk you through it. So my pie crust is, it's a pretty standard crust, blind baked. I think blind baking is something that people really don't understand, just how far you need to take it.
So
just
long.
How long
yes.
you need to bake most crusts, yes. both with weights in it and with weights out. It is the two things coming together that really determine the success of a blind bake pastry shell. Now, the filling, it's sugar. It's a lot of cornstarch. It's a third of a cup of cornstarch, 2 large eggs, 4 large egg yolks, a cup of fresh lemon juice, plus the finely grated zest of 4 lemons, some salt, and then it's a little bit of butter, all right? So first, you're whisking together your sugar and cornstarch in a saucepan. You're putting in your yolks and your whole eggs. You're putting in your lemon zest, your lemon juice, salt, and water. Then you are bringing that up to a simmer. You're whisking and you're letting it bubble, all right, getting nice and thick. And then you're going to let it cool a little bit, continuing to whisk just so the mixture stays smooth. And you're going to whisk in that butter at the end. Mm. So basically what you have is this, like, it's like a water-based pudding almost.
Yeah.
And that gives you that very vivid, very yellow custard matrix. Just a little bit of opacity from the butter being mm-hmm. whisked in. Imagine like pudding, but with like the milk taken away. And once the butter has been added, you just scrape all that into the prepared pie crust and then you chill until it's set, which, you know, is like as short as like a couple of hours, but you can keep it at that point for a few days. Then your meringue goes on top, you know, nothing new here. My only final thing with like meringue topped pies is I think meringue really needs to be torched.
Yeah.
Just as a way of like tempering just that always perennially overly sweet kind of edge to it. And when I say torched, I don't mean put it in a hot oven where it's just going to kind of slowly toast and expand and get a little bit gray. I mean, you need to get a torch, the kind of torch that can only come from a hardware store. One of those Burns-O-Matic torches that come with like the brass fitting, you know, for the flame. It will last you so long and work so hard for you. Just, you know, if you want to make lemon meringue pie, make lemon meringue pie. Something tells me Shilpa might feel otherwise.
No, I...
And
I,
that person is Shilpa.
Yeah, always. I'm just saying, I think you're right. And I think we diagnosed. The point is we solved this podcast before the podcast began. We figured out what was wrong and we diagnosed what was going on. And Erin is going to go back and try it. And obviously she's going to use our recipe, your recipe specifically, okay, to make it.
Of course, of course.
But I was like, what if Erin doesn't want to make lemon meringue pie?
Okay. Right? Yeah. What should she make?
I had two ideas for Erin. Both still in the lemon family.
Okay.
But I chose, do you remember Kendra's beach pie with the cherry topping?
Yes, from Don't Call It the Summer Birthday Package.
Yes, yes. That was so cute. Yeah. I love that.
Tell me more about that style of pie. It's baked in the shell?
It is baked in the shell. And I think the defining factor of that is it has dairy.
Right.
It has condensed milk in it.
Yeah.
It's like generally condensed milk, lemon juice, eggs.
It's more like key lime pie, but make it lemon kind of thing in terms,
yeah,
of like, isn't that how you make key lime pie? Do,
yeah,
you like bake it in the shell?
Key lime can go both ways. You can definitely bake it or you can, but it has to have condensed milk.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
So in both cases, I think that's important. And I just thought it was a super cute pie. It looks like a cartoon with a little cherry jam top and the little maraschino cherries on top. And I thought that was such a,
yeah,
nice thing. And, you know, because of the condensed milk, it's almost always sets up and it's always firm. It just coagulates differently from a non-dairy, like lemon curd. Anyway, that was one option. And then the other option I had, which obviously I had to give my own recipe, was the triple citrus creamsicle pie that we developed for two Thanksgivings ago at this point.
2022, wow. Right?
Yeah, wow. But the premise was like, you don't have to make pie pastry. You could just make crumb crusts or easier,
yeah,
crusts. So I used the Biscoff crust and then I pour in this filling, which has four kinds of dairy. But then there's some, Chris is like, how did I approve this recipe?
What? Four types of dairy?
It has cream cheese and condensed milk. And it has heavy cream and it has butter. But there's also a lot of acid, so it,
yeah,
never feels really heavy. But it cuts, because of all of that dairy and that acid, everything just cuts so cleanly and it's set with gelatin and you don't have to cook it and you can make it in like less than an hour. You can make it a day ahead.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. That was an interesting one. I think,
yeah,
the situations in which citrus and dairy works, really interesting.
Rare.
That it has to be these like exaggerated forms of dairy,
yeah,
your cream cheese,
like
your sweetened condensed milk, your butter.
Exactly. So I think I stayed within the realm of Erin's desires of wanting something lemony, but something with more surefire success.
Yeah. Great. All right, listen, Erin, good luck. We believe in you. Can't wait to see what you come up with, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for all the help. I'm excited to succeed and not make soup pie.
Perfect.
We believe in you.
Yeah, indeed. So we sent Erin the recipes, lemon meringue pie, cherry lemonade beach pie, and the triple citrus creamsicle pie, and waited to hear how everything set. We're going to take one more quick break, and then we'll find out whether Erin was able to achieve pie perfection.
About your mama's kitchen.
This teeny tiny little room was where we did everything. We grew up there. We became teenagers, adults in that small space.
I'm Michelle Norris. The kitchen is usually the heartbeat of our homes. It's the place where we're nourished physically and spiritually. It's where the people we love most chased away life's furies with skillets and spatulas.
I love you, I really care about you. Those words don't come naturally. But what you can do is hand someone a corned beef sandwich that's the size of your head, and that means the same thing.
Every week, I'm serving up a new episode of this Audible original podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. They're available anywhere you listen.
Hi, Erin. How you doing?
Good.
I mean, I'd love to just get right into it. And I heard that there's tape that reveals the recipe you finally went with.
Yes.
Michelle, you want to roll that for us?
So I do think I will try to do the lemon meringue pie at some point, but I ended up choosing the triple citrus creamsicle pie. It seemed quite different from something I would normally do, and like it would be something that could be fun from the summer through the winter to mix things up.
Wow.
I think Erin really took us on a journey there.
She did. I thought she was about to say she'd made the lemon meringue, and I was about to get up and jump onto the table like Tom Cruise and scream like in your face. But instead, I have to like literally eat like humble egg salad sandwich here, so to speak.
Oh, Christopher.
And let you bask in the joy of your own success. How is it over there?
Great.
Hope lemony, you got like sunshiny. Sunscreen mm-hmm, on today. Mm-hmm. Before we hear more about how Erin's pie turned out, Shilpa, can you break down how to make your triple citrus creamsicle pie?
After you make your crust, you're going to bloom, then melt your gelatin. Then you'll combine cream cheese, butter, sweetened condensed milk, and add in your melted gelatin, the lemon and lime zest and juice, heavy cream, and some salt. Once it's well combined, scrape this filling into your prepared crust and smooth the surface. For the finishing touch, swirl in some orange marmalade, then chill the pie until the filling is completely set, and it definitely won't turn into pie soup. Erin, this is your time to shine. Tell us all about why you made such great choices.
Well, I made such great choices because I followed the recipe as written exactly to the best of my ability. But yeah, it was sweetened condensed milk and heavy cream and cream cheese, which as a person who normally doesn't eat a lot of dairy, was really an unexpected choice for me.
Yeah.
But I felt like in this case, it was going to be worth it. And I was right. It was 100% worth it.
Wow.
For you, I would say, bravo, way to just like nail it. I'm so delighted for you. To Shilpa, I would say you were cheating. Hi. You used gelatin, which is like basically like not even pie. It's like a cheesecake, like a no-bake cheesecake.
Okay, and?
And
it
like,
gave Erin confidence.
Like, why
it
did
gave
we let
Erin
you do
a lemon meringue pie.
Types of dairy in there?
Because it was too great for you to say no. And Erin is here to prove it. Prove me right. Continue on, Erin.
Go on, Erin.
Speak more.
So, okay. So I just delivered pie to all of my friends, some at their homes, some at their jobs.
Oh, wow.
And I got people saying like, wow, this key lime pie is amazing. Like, what a great cheesecake. So people couldn't seem to, like, nobody said, like, I really love this triple citrus creamsicle pie, which I thought was crazy, but people really liked it.
So they didn't necessarily know, like, what it was.
I mean, in every case, like, loved it. People who are not dessert people were like, this is the dessert I would eat.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I mean, what a win. I do think like this is like a great way in for people who feel like pie is intimidating. This one is not. This one wants to be your friend.
Yes. Erin, is that how you felt?
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of people that thought like, oh, this is some kind of like no-bake pie from a box, whatever. And my partner was like very quick to jump up and be like, whoa, whoa, this is not from a box. This is from scratch.
Love your partner.
But like I heard that comment and was like, oh, so what it tells people is like, this is a pie that is easy enough that I could make this myself. And I know it would have amazing results. And like, yeah, that was the end of it. It took an hour of my day and produced this thing that people were very happy with. And so for me, maybe the takeaway is if I'm trying to make a showstopper dessert, that it doesn't have to be, you know, 5 hours of labor
to produce this amazing product, but something that's a little bit more approachable and easier for me can have just as good of an effect. And I think that's more in line with the way that I cook for entertaining anyway.
Wow. Love
that. That's a great roundup.
Michelle, could you send us the photo of the pie? I feel like that would add a layer of understanding here.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. There's a little heart.
There's a friggin' heart. I mean, you buried the lead. This is why we need photos, people. Oh. There's a heart in the pie.
That's so cute.
I make the like fancy sugar cookies. So adding a little dollop of something and making a design is like 100% in my wheelhouse.
Oh, this is so cute.
That's really, really nicely done.
Thank you. And then there's one, two of it, of the slice, and you can see that it is, in fact, not soup.
It is not soup. Very proud of you. We're, like, really proud of you. No coffee cups involved here.
If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. We'd love to feature your question on the show. You can find the recipes mentioned today, lemon meringue pie, cherry lemonade beach pie, and the triple citrus creamsicle pie, on the Epicurious app brought to you by Condé Nast. Just search Epicurious in the App Store and download today. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice and hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to Dinner SOS. I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Shilpa Iskokovic. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio. Next week, Dan Pashman of the Sporkful podcast and forthcoming cookbook, Anything's Possible, joined me in the studio to answer some listener questions.
Now, there's a bit of a debate in Leche about whether you should take the fried pie.
There's a little bit of a debate. No, Italians?
I know, you wouldn't believe it.
Disagree about food? Hold on, are you sure? Okay, because like in your mind, like you're thinking like French tarte au citron, okay?
Sure.
And that's not what we did. We made American Derrickin lemon meringue pie.
No, I get that.
It doesn't sound like you do.
Anyway, Chris is going to do his homework and make me a lemon meringue pie. I'm going to send you pictures. That's what's going to happen.
I love that.
That's it. It's an episode within an episode. It's a lemon meringue pie showdown, aka The Reckoning.
And you're going to show me that American style lemon meringue pie can be made in a crumb crust.
Well, I don't feel like showing that to you first. First, I want to just like show you the OG.
You can't walk it back. I'm sorry.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or any time. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking Educators at whosmarted.com.